Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Greetings, EastEnders fans. Welcome to this week's Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast, where this week we'll be discussing the episodes that aired between the 17th to the 20th of March, 2025. How are you all? We hope you're well. And joining me today is the fabulous Rob. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Very well, Ree. Thank you. How are you? How's week two in Turkey, Soz? How's it going?
It's been, you know what, it's lovely, but it's got a bit colder. I know that's a bit of a real like first world problem and everything.
It really is.
Colder here.
Cold in Turkey, you poor thing. My heart absolutely bleeds for you.
So I'm indoors this week, I'm afraid.
Yeah. We haven't got any mountain background,
I'm afraid, if you're watching on YouTube.
There's no need for anyone to go on www.youtube.com and have a look at your pretty background this week, is there?
I wouldn't say so, no. If I'm honest with you. No, don't bother. Actually, no, do go on YouTube, though, because it's great to watch on YouTube. Go on www.youtube.com, actually. Forget that we said that.
Yeah, always do, told. There we go. So, are you there for another week as well? You have another week there?
I'll be next week. With how it's worked out, with the dates.
I mean, sorry, three-week holiday. I mean, it helps, doesn't it? Because it's your parents' like villa mansion.
Yeah.
Place
mansion,
staying in,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's my
mansion.
Parents have got a holiday home
parent,
here.
Yeah, it's your parents' castle that you're staying in right now, isn't it? Yeah,
massive castle. Massive. Yes.
In fact, they actually own that mountain that you saw last week, Ree's parents. Yeah, they are emperors.
It's actually called Mount Ree, just to let you know. I was lying last week.
so modest. Right, so this week's EastEnders, quite a busy one, to say the least, especially if your name is Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Very busy, very, very, very busy week.
Much occurring, many revelations about the likes of Nicola, which we shall be discussing later. And has a revelation been made about Harry? Should we question that?
Well, we'll get to that, won't we?
We'll get to that.
Because I think, yes, we've both got opinions on this one.
I think we might have. So, Ree, should we get on with it?
Yeah, let's get on with this week's Albert Square After Dark.
Right, as we said, much to discuss if your name is Mitchell this week, and we will be talking all about Phil's special episode at the end of the podcast, because that was something a little bit special, but we'll get to that later on. We'll start off with talking about everything that was going on with Nicola and Teddy and Harry and Junior by the end of the week as well, and the strange little place that is Paradise Park. Yes. So, it is the fourth anniversary of Shireen Bassar's disappearance. Now, if you had forgotten who Shireen Bassar was, it's understandable, because they've discussed this for weeks. And weirdly, I'd been thinking, like when we started like dealing with the new Mitchells again, and like, you know, I was sat there thinking, oh, I forgot about all that whole thing with Harry's ex-girlfriend. They never mentioned it again. This is fully back in the frame now.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry's not taking the anniversary well, is he?
No, bless him. He really misses her, doesn't he?
He does. And Nicola's busy kind of still batting off Zach about telling Barney about him being his real dad. That wasn't really kind of addressed that much this week. Nicola was very, very busy elsewhere. Being revealed as the big baddie again, it would appear, right?
Yes. Well, so supposedly she's killed Shireen. I mean, she literally said it, didn't she, to her her acquaintance, Benji.
Now, she didn't actually say that she'd killed Shireen. She says that I killed that girl. Now, I might be clutching at straws there. But I also got the impression Maybe. I'm still not 100% convinced that Shireen's dead. And I
She's not
can't.
dead,
You
surely.
don't think? I've got this
No, I
kind of
don't
thing
think
in
she's
my
dead.
head that this whole thing with Benji, whoever this bloke is, that some sort of evil queen huntsman Snow White type of situation
Exa
kicked
Mate, I
off.
was literally just going to
Yeah?
say the exact same thing to you. Yes, 100%. Well, a bit like when Ravi went to go and kill Eve, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That sort of setup.
Yes.
Now, according to Benji, the thing that we're being led to believe basically is that Shireen's body is buried in this disused council estate called Paradise Park. And now, obviously, it
Yes.
is essential to Nicola that nobody discovers this whatsoever. And if she lived anywhere else in the world, this wouldn't be discovered. But because she now lives in Wolford, obviously the past is
Of
coming back to
course.
haunt her because Junior and Teddy have started working together. And Junior's idea, because I'd completely forgotten what Junior's job actually was. He's one of these characters that walks around in a suit and tie all the time, but I had no idea what he did. I couldn't remember it. And it turns out
Is
he is
in business
in business.
constructions, isn't
Yeah,
he?
like development and all that kind of thing. And he's got his
Yeah.
eye on this old disused council estate that he thinks, I could do something with that. And he gets Teddy involved because why does he get Teddy involved? Why does he decide that Teddy would be the best person for this?
I don't even know how they've both like spoken to each other about it. It's not like they could have met each other in Queen Vic and been like, "Oh, you're looking at somewhere in Dartford?" Yeah, I am. It was just
Well,
kind of like we've been told that Teddy's trying to do some business with Junior in
hey.
Dartford, I
Well,
think.
the main thing to pull out from this is that this mysterious council estate that Julia is proposing to,
Council estate.
well, it's kind of like an estate, isn't it? It's some sort
I
of
would call it an
industrial,
industrial
yeah,
estate.
industrial estate, council estate.
Yeah.
Mind you don't get many council estates called Paradise Park, to be fair. I don't think that's a thing. It's a good name for one.
No.
Oh, that would make you
It
feel up in the
is.
world, wouldn't it? Whereas you live
Yeah.
Paradise Park, yeah, it's great, yeah.
Really nice there, actually.
Yeah, it's really nice. Sorry, it's like a mansion. And yeah, it turns out Paradise Park is exactly where they're planning on redeveloping. So Nicola's
Of
secrets, it would
course.
appear, are not to remain buried for very long.
Except Nicola doesn't know this yet, does she? As
No, she
far as she's
doesn't.
concerned, Teddy's just trying to get back to Dartford to clear his name because
Yes.
obviously we met somebody else this week, didn't we, Rob?
Yes, we did. We met Asad this week, who is Shireen's brother. Now, it would appear that Harry and Asad were very, very good mates at one point. Best mates, I think we were led to believe, wasn't it? And,
Yes.
okay, so there was a look that Harry gave Asad, okay, and the whole of the internet did the internet and decided instantly there and then that Harry was either gay or bisexual, okay? What are your
Yes.
thoughts on this?
Exactly what I thought. Like,
Really?
literally thought, yeah, I literally thought the exact same. There was a moment as well before it when they were talking where I like went, oh. And
Really?
then he gave him the look, yeah. And I was like, oh, so Harry's bisexual then? Because I didn't think, I don't get the impression that he's like a closet gay. From that, I was like,
Well,
oh, right, so he's bisexual, maybe.
he's still very upset about Shireen's disappearance. So.
But then also, if he did love Shireen that much, would he be doing anything with her brother? Because that's a
Exactly.
bit weird, isn't it? It could have
Exactly.
just been like a mutual friend who came along or something to see him rather than her brother. Like that bit didn't make sense to me because they said that the three of them were quite the trio. What would Shireen be okay with that, or what, they were doing it behind
No,
her back? I don't
I
understand.
thought they meant that the trio was Shireen, Assad, and Harry.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So what were
Oh, I
they?
see. Yeah, exactly. So if
If
it
you what
doesn't.
if they were a thing,
Yeah,
would
so
they
it
have been
doesn't. So if
hiding
it.
it from her?
So if it doesn't make sense, then likely that's not what was going on, surely, right?
I don't know, because you're like,
I
no,
don't
never
think it is.
been.
No, I just think, I mean, bisexual, let's be fair here, bisexuality is something that just doesn't get touched upon in soaps. It's such an
Totally.
underrepresented sexuality. So
Especially for men,
bisexuality,
male
yeah,
characters.
exactly. So bisexuality, I would be absolutely grand with. Okay, fine, bring that in. But there is just this thing that happens, right, where a hot guy appears, and Harry is a hot guy, right? He's very, very pretty. And the reaction to that usually is, oh my God, make him kiss a man. You know, and there's some sort of weird thing about that. And it's sort of like you're not doing that story
Sound a
because
bit
it's an.
homophobic there, Rob, I'm not gonna
Oh, do
lie.
I? Yeah, as a gay man, I'm really homophobic. Yeah, sure. It's just this thing that tends to happen in soaps where it's just like you get. It's nothing to do with sexuality confusion or sexuality.
Oh, okay.
It's more about just appealing to. people who want to watch that. And it just makes
you
me
think
feel
they're
a bit
trying to glamorize a good looking guy as being
just,
gay kind of
just,
thing rather than
yeah.
making it about the sexuality side and some
yeah
of the views.
it just makes
Yeah.
me feel a bit uncomfortable, you know. And it's like, at the same time, why
Yeah.
could that not just, that longing, lustful look that Harry gave him, not simply be the fact that he was just pleased to have his best mate back in his life again?
It could well be, because there's nothing that's saying that that was actually what it was, but if so many people thought it, I don't know, for me, it looked like that so much that I feel like if that's not what they were going for, they could have said, shall we reshoot that? Because that were a bit too much of a loving,
no,
longing
but
look that you
I
gave
didn't
him.
see
I
it
don't
like
know.
that at all. Yeah, but I didn't see
Oh,
it like
did you not
that at all.
know?
No, I just like, Harry's clearly really pleased that his best mate's back in his life and has forgiven him and doesn't think that he has anything to do with Shireen's disappearance. And he's happy to see him and happy to have him back there. You know,
But
I.
it could well be that as well. But then, do you know what? Because I had it in my head that it was like a loving, longing look that he gave him. You know, when they
Yeah.
then went
You're a
to,
pervert, really. That's
what's
all
it
it
called?
is.
The Harry's Barn. Harry's Barn
Yes.
now.
Yes, Harry's barn.
And they started like scrapping a little bit. I was like,
Yeah.
oh,
Oh, that's
that's
hot.
pent
Oh,
up.
that's
That's
hot.
pent up, like, you know.
So you're
That
just
is what
making,
I thought after
you're just
watching
making
that.
it. I just don't see it.
Am I
I don't.
making it up?
You're making it up completely. I mean, don't get me wrong. It might well go in that direction, and fine, and I'll look like an idiot as usual. But it's just, I just don't. I don't see the point in. I
Yeah.
don't. I don't. I just find it weird sometimes that, you know, it's like people are almost wanting Harry to be gay because it would be hot to look at, and I just think that's a bit weird.
I think it just did really look like that, though, and that's not why people are necessarily saying it. But I don't want to, you know, belittle what you're saying if that's how you feel about this kind of thing. In fairness, I don't really see the point in making this be about that. Like, this is supposed to be about Shireen. And Harry missing his girlfriend, and then the devastation that he's going to feel when he finds out that it was actually to do with his mum, rather than an added layer on top of this that, oh, actually, we're having an affair with a brother behind her back. It doesn't need it, does it? So maybe you're right, and maybe it wasn't meant to
I
be
don't
like
know. I
that.
mean, like you say, it doesn't make sense that they would have this affair behind Shireen's back if Harry is this devastated about Shireen's disappearance, and Harry and Asad
Yeah.
apparently at
Yeah.
first blaming Harry for Shireen's disappearance. So yeah, you could argue that maybe
Oh, unless it,
if an
but
affair didn't happen. Go
what if he thought that it were Harry because, you know, we're like, oh, you wanted to get rid of us so that us two could be together or something, you know, maybe that were Assad's thinking.
on. See,
You
now
never know.
you've set that in motion now. People are going to grip onto that with both hands and be like, yeah, that's what happened. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like I say, I may well probably be proven very, very wrong, but it's just one of those things that always sort of makes me roll my eyes slightly. And it's just like, oh, come on. Like, yeah, I bet he's just a pretty straight bloke and he's pleased to see his best mate again. You know, it could be that.
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying, but like I said, I don't think they need that extra layer. But
We'll see.
hey, if they do go down that route, let's hope that they're going to do it properly at
Oh yeah,
least.
like I would welcome bisexuality representation for
I
this film because I
yeah.
think that's really important actually, because it took so long for them to even register Sonya being bisexual. They used to just use her as okay, who should we get Sonya with? Oh, screw it, we'll get her with a woman this week, you know. And they
Yeah.
never really addressed Sonya's sexuality as anything other than, you know, they like I remember Sonya and Shirley having a blazing row, and Sonya and Shirley and Lynn. Shirley calling her something like, you know, not a proper leser or something like that, and it's just like, or bisexual, you know, could be that, could be that.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
bisexuality is something that needs to be represented 100%, but I don't know if that's what's happening here. Maybe I'll be wrong, who knows. Anyway, so Harry is obviously in meltdown because of everything that's going on. He goes into the Albert and gets very, very drunk and also very, very
Oh,
high
yeah.
because he's taken pills as well.
Oh, I forgot about all this. God, a lot happened with these lot, didn't it, this week? Yeah. Oh,
There was
yeah.
one thing that I kicked off in the Albert, right? So he's kicking off and he's getting Felix and, like, you know, he's fighting up Felix, by the way. Enjoy Felix, what we've got in people, by the way. And Nicola and Harry burst in. Nicola spends a lot of this week walking into rooms going, "Oi!"
Nicola and Teddy,
Kind of,
yeah.
and they do this weird thing where, like, they're working together as a team where Teddy will do a fake punch at Harry and Nicola will then come in and punch him in the gut. And that worked.
Yeah.
And the impression I got was that that has worked every single time they've ever done it.
Yes, they've had to do this many a time before. They knew exactly what they were going to do. I actually rewatched that about three times. So, like, was that what
What happened there?
happened? He gave a slap like winked to Teddy before as if to say,
Yeah, we're doing the thing. We're doing the thing.
Team's back in action. Yeah, we're doing that again.
But it's like, this is something that they do every single time that Harry gets into this state, and Harry falls for it every single time. I was like,
it is quite on brand for Harry to fall for it.
It is, yeah. Every single time they
fall for it. He was that drunk, though, and like on pills, weren't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, it would transpire that Shireen used to give him a lot. Like, that's what him and Shireen used to do together.
I mean, Nicola didn't seem that bothered that Harry was on drugs, did she? Neither of them did really seem that bothered.
Well, no, but she were only bothered when she found out they were a dodgy batch, weren't she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I feel like that's not the last we're going to see of that dodgy batch of pills.
No, exactly. So there's a dodgy set of pills going around. Ravi and Nicola are sort of like loggerheads about that. So I wonder if, like, because Nicola's basically... The implication was that Nicola was basically in charge of drugs in London. Like, she's just basically this huge drug mule now. And it's sort of, like, pushing drugs all over directions. She said there's a dodgy batch of pills going around London and I'm responsible for it. So it's all going to come back to me somehow.
They do travel, don't they?
They do, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, how easy is it to...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Trying to kind of trace drugs back to one person. Not what I'd know.
Oh, God, I don't know. It depends if they have...
God, I don't...
We can't be that easy because she's getting away with it.
So far, but then they haven't had... This is the first dodgy batch, apparently, that's been out there. So I don't know how they trace it back. I'm not a drug dealer.
No, I don't.
I wouldn't know.
Well, where did Harry get them from, though? We just saw some random... Were it some random guy on a bike?
Yeah, some random guy gave him it. They did that thing that they do on soaps sometimes, where they'll just like be standing on a street corner and do like a handshake and like just transfer money and drugs in one swift movement. Yeah, it's very well practiced. Very, very smart. Hassad, by the way, is convinced that Teddy is the one that's behind Shireen's disappearance. Which kind of goes back into the what we were learning about Teddy last week, that he's this dangerous, violent, volatile human being.
Yes.
And that was just before we found out that Nicola was apparently responsible for her, in inverted commas, death. So...
Yes.
Where are we with this? Does that mean that, we now know that Nicola was the one responsible, does this mean that Teddy isn't as violent and aggressive and brutal as we thought he was, or what?
I do think Teddy's got that side, but I think that he has really worked on himself to keep it under wraps. Because then we saw a little scene where we were talking to Zach, didn't we? And then Sharon. And he was saying, like, I really didn't enjoy the fact that you were so scared of, like, being, you know, I don't want you to be scared every time you walk past me. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
But then having said that, he's worked this hard, you know, to not be that guy anymore. It didn't take much for him to flip, really. I mean, I know Sharon cheated on him, but like,
yeah,
you then turn violent because of it. Like, that's not a normal reaction, really, is it?
But do we believe that when he finds out about Barney, he's going to go on some sort of... Because Nicola's biggest fear is that he finds out about Barney and kills everybody. So do we reckon he's that sort of person?
I don't know. No, I just think that Nicola's scared, because I think Nicola knew that she were not far away from getting Teddy back, so then she's thinking, no, it's going to ruin everything in that respect. I don't believe that she's genuinely that scared of him, because after this week, I don't think that he would necessarily hurt a woman.
Mm. There's certainly a volatility to him that is set to set to be explored further, and presumably when he does find out about Barney, he's going to go apeshit. You know,
he might do it, Zach, because Zach's constantly been riling him up. So when he realizes
Zach's
that all
really
these
not helping
passive
that,
aggressive
is,
jibes,
yeah,
have been because he actually knows the truth.
Yeah,
I
don't think Zach's helping himself whatsoever. He's not dealing with the situation brilliantly, I would argue.
No, but then again, how else can he deal with it? Because he's really desperate for the truth to be out, isn't he? So that he can like get to know his son, but as far as he knows, he's not allowed to. For now.
Meanwhile, Harry and Teddy and Nicola are back together. Now we discover little pet names that they got for each other this week. My God, they're rampant, aren't they? Rampant. Honestly, disgusting.
I actually thought it was so funny, though.
I mean, for a start off, you're my King Edward. Why is a potato such a sexy thing to be, can I just ask? I mean, yeah, I
Oh
know
my
it's King.
God.
I know it's. I
I
know
did not
King
make that
Edward, but
association
I
at
know it's. A,
all.
I know King Edward as in the actual person. But all I could think of was, you're calling him a potato. I don't think that's that sexy. And I'm your lady in waiting. That's the thing, right? That's
That
clearly.
had him. That were weak at knees
It
for him,
did,
weren't it?
honestly. He
Instantly.
was gone then. Call him King Edward, and he's absolutely there. Yeah, he's straight away ripping a top open. Turns him on instantly.
Madness. And then after they've done the deed,
Three times. Three
Junior
times they had
comes to
sex
the
there and
door and
then.
she's got a blanket on. Oh yeah.
Drops a
I thought it was
top.
twice.
Gives Judah a
She
thrill.
dropped it. Well, she dropped a blanket, didn't she? So do you think that maybe she's going to have a little thing with Junior on sly to try and keep him sweet or something?
Possibly, to kind of keep him quiet and kind of make him stop
Yeah.
doing this thing with Teddy, which she doesn't know about yet. It's possible, because you know what? I reckon Nicola is probably Junior's type. Yeah.
Yeah,
Pretty
I think
blonde.
both of them, yeah, I could see that with both of them. Did you get the impression that Benji had been there with Nicola as well when he said something?
Maybe. Oh yeah, because he was giving her a few little dirty looks in the car. I mean, dirty as in pervy. Yes,
Yeah, he said something
dirty.
like ages treated you well or something like that. Some something,
Just being a
yeah.
sleaze. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm fascinated by this whole thing with Nicola. I really am. I think she's a great character. I'm so obsessed with her. She's great.
So Nicola Shireen, right? She said, "I can't let anybody know that I killed that girl." So when she said that, I do believe she was just talking about Shireen. Do you think that she's saying that she actually killed her herself with her own hands? Or do you think she was
Or
referring to the fact that she'd paid somebody to do it?
I feel like that's more likely, because also think of it like this: if Shireen has been murdered by Nicola personally in cold blood, that then gives Nicola a shelf life. Whereas you could argue that if she literally hired someone to do it, then she's just about slipped through the net of being allowed to stay around in terms of soap morality, you know?
The soap world. I know what you're saying.
So I prefer that because I don't want Nicola going anywhere. I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I think she's amazing, an amazing character. I don't know. I feel like there's much more to reveal about Shireen yet. Obviously, we was meant to discover that she's buried somewhere within Paradise Park, but I feel like
So then,
there's a Huntsman and Snow White situation going on with whoever was, presumably Benji, was responsible for disposing of her.
So she's not actually. So let's say there is a dead body, then obviously we're waiting for somebody to find out that she's there. If there isn't, though, then why would they bother introducing Paradise Park at all? Do you think there might be
Oh, I
some
agree.
evidence there or something?
Yeah, there'll be something there. Don't get me wrong, I'm leaning more towards it. They've certainly been suggesting basically that Shireen is dead and that, you know, Nicola has had her buried somewhere in Paradise Park. I get all that, but I just can't help but feel like there's an additional little extra twist to come. Because they never explicitly stated that Nicola was responsible for Shireen's death. Those, like, the words "I killed" and Shireen were never put in the same sentence together. And
Oh, okay. So that's what you read into that line where she said that I killed that girl kind of thing.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just feels like there's more to be revealed at the whole
I agree.
situation at this point. We'll see. Let us know what you
Agreed.
think in the comments section. Do you think Shireen's actually dead? Do you? Did Nicola actually kill someone with her bare hands and then go back home and call Edward back to her
Benji.
boudoir?
Oh, Edward. What did you think he meant then?
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. Let us know in the comment section below. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. So Jean, Kathy, and Harvey. Okay, now what always tends to happen with these affair storylines is that yes, it becomes a love triangle, and two of normally the mistress or the male version of it. What's the male version of a mistress? What is
I was
that?
going to say
A
temptress,
mister?
but do you know what, mate? There won't be a male version,
Oh, I
okay?
see.
It'll just be a man.
Is that right?
That is the
Okay.
male version.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank
Read
you.
into
Thank.
that what you will.
Well, welcome to Women's Hour. There we go. Yes, Kathy and Jean have become very close this week because. Oh, can we talk about Ruby and her discussion and her bloody thing with this funeral? I mean, honestly, why does she think that she's got so many rights over this funeral, for God's sake? Yes,
Because she
she
loved
was with.
Martin.
Good for her. So did lots of other people. And they
It is
knew him
true
better.
because is she still married to him? Did they ever get divorced?
I think they must have got divorced when she was in prison at some point. I think that must have happened.
Because, well, because to be fair, technically, if they're still married, she can
Well,
do
she's
what she
still called Ru
wants,
she's
I
still called
think.
Ruby she's called Ruby Allen in the credits, so she's not Ruby
Oh, so
Fowler.
maybe they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But
But
either way,
yeah.
yeah, like let other people get involved.
Yeah, I mean,
Well,
are you sensing the fact that I've my sympathy to Ruby have massively diminished since we last spoke of this?
oh yeah, I forgot about all that.
Little bit.
She is acting out of grief though, no, but I
I
think the real
know.
reason Ruby's acting the way that she is, if she had been confident that her and Martin were so strong, she wouldn't be getting a backup about Stacey, would she? Let's be
Correct,
real.
correct, correct. So
That's
it's
what
more a
it's
def
all
it's a
about.
defensive mechanism, isn't it, for a lot
Yes.
of it? Yeah, she's keep, you
Yeah.
know, yeah, she's self-preservation, I think, is what it's called, isn't it?
That's the one, Rob. Yes.
Yes.
So it's, I know what, it's not even that she's not even claiming that she knows what he wants, so is she? She's still
No,
kind of trying to
making
do
it
it
up.
all her own way,
Yeah,
like she
making it up
was
as
the
she
other
goes.
week.
Making it up as she goes along. Yeah. It doesn't like even the flowers that they couldn't agree on, because obviously he'd have lilies for Lily. And it's
He would
and she
totally.
literally was like, "Why the hell would I want that on his coffin? Like, I don't even like that girl. Screw off." No, basically was words was that.
See, I was expecting Kathy to come in there and be like, come on, let's compromise, have a bit of
She
both,
was
have some lilies
trying.
and have some
She
roses.
was
There you go.
trying.
But no
A
one even
bouquet.
suggested that.
No.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's I just don't I, this is the thing with Ruby, right? She's so isolated from everybody. Like, nobody cares what Ruby wants. And I kind of feel sorry for her in that regard, because she's basically trying to kind of keep up this pretense that her and Martin were so happy together, which in some weird form they kind of were, because, you know, Roman was a big influence of that. But you kind of think without Roman they wouldn't have been a thing again. So
No, I agree, actually. Yeah, if it weren't for Roman, there's absolutely no way. And on the surface of it, they kind of were happy. And bear in mind, Ruby doesn't actually know that behind the scenes, so to
yeah.
speak, there was the thing with
Well,
Martin and Stacey. Or does
yeah,
she?
and
Or
they
does
can't have been
she,
that happy
maybe?
together, because it took one collapsing building for Martin to be confessing his true feelings to another woman. So, you know,
Yeah, on his deathbed,
on
that's
his
all it took,
deathbed.
weren't it, Rob?
Yeah, you know, if, well, put it like this, Ree, if you were in the Vic and it was collapsing, you had a big old beam on top of you, you wouldn't be confessing your
Yeah.
love to anybody else other than your partner, would you?
Well, no, you wouldn't, to be
No.
fair. No, you've got a point. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There you go.
Apart from Jay from EastEnders, obviously, you'd probably confess it about him.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, she would. She would. She would. If you ever wanted to know what
Oh,
Reese
dear.
EastEnders crush is, that's
God's sake, Rob. Who's
it.
yours? Oh, we know Zach, innit?
How long have you got? Do you know who my ultimate one was? It was Paul Coker.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
of course. Do I know? Blimey, he used to message me after everybody episode he were in, pretty much.
lovely Johnny Laby. Lovely. Anyway, where were we? I've got very,
Anyway,
very
I don't know. I
distracted.
can't even
Right.
remember. Oh,
I
Ruby,
know.
something about
Oh,
Ruby. I
yeah.
don't know. We got
Oh
there.
yeah,
Yeah.
that old thing. So anyway, Kathy, like we say, Kathy is trying to sort of play devil's advocate in the whole funeral discussion, which kind of leads Kathy and Jean to becoming closer, because then Kathy gives her the idea of doing this whole sort of cocktail thing, and it's being really helpful, and Jean's really grateful for the support, because
Even though,
Harvey's giving her no support whatsoever, apparently.
yeah. Even though Martin didn't even drink cocktails, because I,
No.
do you know what?
I
I had
remember.
my mixology head on and I was trying to
Yes.
think, because I know how to make cocktails and
Of
I've
course you
made
do.
up various ones.
Millions of cocktails over the
And I couldn't
years, you
even
haven't you?
think of anything. And then Jack comes in and says, Martini. Or Jean said it, one of them said it.
Jean
And I'm
said it.
like,
I thought it was genius. A
genius.
genius, right? Absolute genius. They should all get absolutely hammered on martinis at the wake. That's genius.
I've just thought of what you could do though, right? You could do an
Go on.
espresso martini, but a
Yes, I'm there
Martin.
already.
And then, but I've had one before where they top it up with a bit of stout, like a chocolate
Oh,
stout. And it was actually really nice. That's a bit of Martin, isn't
bit of
it?
Martin, bit of stout. To be fair, I
Chocolate
remember.
stout.
Oh yeah, I remember Martin once being handed a cocktail and going, "What the hell is?" Had no idea what it was. Didn't understand it whatsoever. Like, he was just looking at this weird feminine glass in his hand, and was just. I just looked at it
Little
as though.
umbrella in it.
I just looked at it as though she'd passed him some sort of weird alien object, and was just looking at it like, "I don't understand what this is. How do I consume it?" Like, so he wasn't really a cocktail man, was Martin. He was a simple bloke with simple taste. He liked what he liked.
I always imagine he'd be a bit of a John Smith's drinker, do you know?
Yeah, Boddingtons or
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah,
Boddington, yeah. Stones.
Stones.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, so the Harvey, Jean and Kathy triangle sort of kind of rumbled on this week. Kathy's feeling guilty because obviously she's feeling guilty, you know, because I think you would in that situation. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. To the point where she feels so guilty that she then turns around to Harvey at the end of the week and goes, well, clearly you need to end things with Jean immediately. I don't care what she's going through. You need to end this relationship so that me and you can be together openly.
I'm glad that she said that, though, because I was thinking, like, last week, like, are you joking? After all of the crap you've given Cindy, now look at you. You know what I mean?
Like, this there's no self-awareness there whatsoever, is there? Like, I wouldn't mind it if we somehow, like, if even if she turned around to Harvey and said something like, after everything I said to Cindy, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, no self-awareness whatsoever. Which is why I'm very keen for Cindy to come back and be the one that discovers the affair first.
Well, is it still going to be an affair, or is Harvey going to come clean next week?
Is he balls going to come clean next week? Of course
he's
not.
Do you not think?
Oh, God, no. No, no.
Do you remember
no.
when we were saying Harvey would never have an affair?
Harvey would never do this.
He's not that kind of guy.
Harvey would never do that. By the time we got to it, it was just like, fair play. Go on, get on, Kathy. Absolutely. Because Jean's being difficult. Go on, absolutely. Crack on. And now our moral heads have come back, listeners. All right? You sometimes say that we don't have moral views. They come back to us eventually. It just takes a while.
Sometimes.
Anyway, sometimes. Go on.
Talking of which, with Jean,
yes.
She's still trying to, I was going to say man the Slater house. She's trying to woman the Slater house at the moment.
Right, yes.
And we've got Lily, haven't we, who's obviously grieving quite badly, still feeling quite bad about the Tommy situation, because they've not made up yet, have they, her and Tommy?
I think they kind of had a conversation, but yeah, I think they've got some work to, mend their relationship a little bit. Avani, now, is she going to turn into a very bad influence for Lily?
Yeah, 100%. I'm here for it. I love it. I love Avani. I love how cheeky she is.
She's great, isn't
and
she?
Naughty.
I mean,
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Next week, minor spoiler alert, because I don't really know what's going
Nina,
on.
So
only tiny sirens, so.
Nina.
we have a double Lauren Clee next week. And
big things.
Big things. And the Tuesday episode, something is kicking off with some of the teens. And Tuesday's episode... Okay. The spoiler synopsis for Tuesday's episode, normally they have like a little paragraph about what is going to happen in the episode. There's only one line for Tuesday's episode, which is Priya makes a worrying discovery, and that's it. And they only tend to do that when something big's kicking off.
So they're going to... I were already thinking, we saw a bit of Ravi talking about these pills, and I can just feel that's where Ravani's going to go.
Maybe.
100, yes. Surely.
Yes, because teens in soaps only need to take a sniff of a pill and they're in a coma because drugs are bad.
Well, and they're dodgy though, to be fair.
Yeah, they are.
If you drink as well at the same time, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, because you can imagine Avani saying, have one of these, Samiri. And then
Lily going, go on then. Yeah, have we had this before though? I feel like we've had this. Have we?
Probably. I mean, I think it was Amy who we had this experience with last time. Yeah, she found some. I can't remember where she got them from, but So it was with Amy last time.
And Amy
so.
Won't be there if her and Lily have fallen out.
Well, they were kind. No, I don't, well, yeah, they did fall out at the end of the week because Avani had Lily smashing up furniture, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I thought actually was quite a clever outlet. I thought it made sense. Like, you've got a lot of pent-up frustrations, a lot of pent-up grief. Take it out on that old chair. And
there are rooms where you can pay to do that, aren't they? What are they called? Yeah. I thought that were a good idea. And all adults are like, no. It's like, they could be doing so much worse, as you're
so
probably
much worse
about
than
to
smashing
discover.
Up some old furniture that's been fly-tipped outside the street. You're like, leave them to it. Let the girl grieve. Let her do what she needs to do. If that's giving her some sort of outlet... Let her get on with it. But no, everyone, as you know, Jack's sort of like, I'm a policeman. And Jean's leaning out of the window, like whinging about the fact that it's past 6 o'clock.
A load of kids trying to sleep.
A load of kids trying to
sleep.
Who cares, Jean? Get a grip, honest to God.
So So I wonder if Amy's going to find them or so. Anyway, this is mere speculation. I've no idea.
But we
I feel
don't
like
know.
They're
We
going
don't
to. I feel like they're going to go up to no good next week.
Yes, up to shenanigans. So yeah, but it's a double Lauren Clee, and we love a double Lauren Clee. So that's good. That's exciting. So we shall see what kicks off with that next week. Right, then, ladies and gents, before we get to Phil's special episode, we need to discuss Hankies at the Ready, Nigel. So I do not know how much more I can take of Nigel. It's so sad. I mean, I love Nigel. I absolutely adore him. And I actually think that bringing Nigel back has been one of the best decisions of this era, because it's given so much to Phil as a character, and it's been great. And I love Nigel. I remember Nigel from, you know, the '90s, and I remember loving him then. So to have him back now as sort of this adorable man who is just falling to pieces, it's breaking my heart. I can't do it.
He is so doing sad. So well at portraying the, like,
Paul Bradley's
confused,
incredible.
Sad man as well. Yeah, do you know what I mean by that? Like,
every time he cries, cries, I want to cry too. It's so sad.
Yeah, it is incredibly sad, this, especially because he's kind of got it quite young. Well, he has got it young.
Yeah,
really.
Early onset dementia. I mean, it's just, and this week we sort of saw that he took a massive downturn. Now, I was kind of wondering about the Nigel story, because I was sort of like, well, how are they going to pace this? Because it's almost seemed that, you know, when we sort of needed Nigel as a fairly lucid character, you know, sort of bringing in Grant and sort of, you know, one of those, he was being used as a sort of character that was sort of going from A to B in the story and doing all that kind of thing. It's like you needed a fairly lucid character to be able to do that. And now Phil isn't there and he doesn't have to do that anymore. He's now kind of disintegrated quite a lot, hasn't he? So I was wondering about the pacing of it, but then I also sort of realized that they were talking about him not sleeping and not eating properly. So I'm assuming, I don't know because I'm not a medical expert, but I'm assuming that lack of sleep and lack of proper food is going to make his symptoms worse in that regard.
That
yeah?
actually makes total sense, especially the lack of sleep, because even to the best minds, lack of sleep can have a massive effect.
If you see me after a night of sleep, you've no sense out of me whatsoever, and I'm like the devil possessed, don't come near me.
Yes, I'm the same. It makes you highly irritable, doesn't it?
Very irritable, yes.
Yeah.
And it's just so heartbreaking. Like, so Lexi discovered what went on with Phil this week. And can we just say, I don't understand. I don't understand why they've been keeping this from Lexi. Why Billy specifically has been keeping this from Lexi.
Because for some reason, well, Billy, I think Billy then felt pressure without Phil being there. He's lost who he deems as probably the king of the family. Sorry for not
King
having
Edward.
A better term for that. King Edward, King Philip.
Yes.
So because he's not there, that then puts pressure, I think, on Billy, and he just doesn't... I feel like Billy relies on Phil a lot more than he's willing to admit. He doesn't want to admit that there's something deeply wrong with Phil himself. It was more about Billy rather than Lexi,
you're right.
I think.
Because I was sort of like, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I say, why is it happening? I get it. But at the same time, I wanted to just reach through the television, give Billy a shake and be like, what are you doing, mate? She has dealt with so much worse up to now. Like, you didn't even need to necessarily tell her that Phil tried to kill himself. All you needed to do
was
say
he's struggling mentally.
He's having a bit of a mental health problem at the minute. He's got depression. She's, I think, old enough to understand what depression is. And he's gone to a hospital to get himself better. You didn't need to, like, completely lie and say he's got the flu or he's gone on holiday.
In Portugal.
Portugal or whatever. You didn't need to do any of that. Naturally, she's going to worry. And then when she kind of wanders into Phil's house and discovers all the letters. Now, did she find the letters herself? Because the implication was that Nigel had, like, left them lying around or something. And I got the impression that Lexi had found them and, like, she'd found them herself because...
I think she did just find them. I don't know where they were being kept or why they've been kept hold of, if I'm quite honest with you. Like, did someone not think to just throw them in bin?
Well, I suppose it was up to Nigel, wasn't it? And he might have forgotten about it.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they were just in, I don't know, somewhere in a cupboard. And I don't know, they must have been easy for her to discover either way, because she found them easily enough, didn't she, with the sounds of it?
Yeah, exactly. And then discovers basically these letters of Phil saying goodbye to people.
Yes, and she knew what that was about
Of
because
course
of
she did, because
Lola and her
because
video messages, yeah.
because instantly kind of understands what that's about. So clearly she had the capability and the capacity to understand what was going on and understand about the situation. She just needed explaining it to her. It's one of the worst things you can do, I think, in that situation, is keep kids Lexi's age shielded from it because they start to resent you for that. You know, kids are not as
She's
dumb as you like to imagine they are. They're not sweet as innocent as you like to imagine they
no.
are they?
She's very mature for her age as well, Lexi,
Well,
with the
she's been
things that she's been through.
forced into maturity, I think, is one of those instances, isn't it?
And I think everyone else could see that they should have told her. I'll be honest, I don't know why it took him a month to tell her. Like people like Honey and Callum and Jay, who obviously wasn't
Well,
there.
no, Jay's not been around too much, but I mean, it's
Not that I've noticed or anything, but
no,
yeah.
not that you've noticed. No, the absence in your life. It's. Yeah, because everybody, I think, apart from Billy, was all up for telling Lexi what had gone on. But then, you know, she found out in the worst possible way. And I tell you what, who is not getting a gold star this week is Mr. Billy Mitchell, who
Agreed.
storms around to Nigel and starts basically physically harassing him and, like, you know, pushing him into walls and everything. I'm like, you leave him alone.
Do you not think that Billy's always been a bit jealous since Nigel came back, though?
Yeah.
Like, he's a bit jealous of Nigel and his
Yeah.
relationship with Phil?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because.
And arguably, you could say maybe that's something that's. I mean, the implication was that Billy didn't really know who Nigel was when he first arrived. But I kind of think that if he looks back on. If he's led to understand that these two have been childhood friends, and he's sort of got the grips of what Nigel is as a person, which is quite mousy, quite sort of nice, basically everything that Billy's not. And he's sort of like, I've tried to be this tough, rough guy to gain respect from you lot, and yet this mousy, weak bloke has turned up, and he's apparently had your respect his entire life. Like, you can
That,
understand the
yeah.
sort of, you can understand a bit of sort of resentment there, can't you?
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. I could imagine Billy kind of having that logic in some way that's not that logical, really.
I mean, well, that's
But
saying Nigel is his week, but.
hopefully Billy and Nigel, like after all this has calmed down, will actually end up being friends of some kind because there's still only what, Linda and Phil who know about, oh, and
And Grant.
Yolande and
Oh,
Gran, who know
Yolande
about
and
the
Grant.
dementia. Well, the
Yeah,
list is
yeah, yeah.
going on and on and on.
Yeah,
But
it's one of those
even
things,
Kathy
yeah.
doesn't know, does she? And
No,
obviously he's
not
got a
yet.
job there, he's working at
Yeah.
the CAF.
I feel like it's not going to be long before lots of people find out because it's just the way that these symptoms can sort of domino. It's sort of like you're going to have to start telling people at some point soon, aren't you? Like, yeah, you can go, talk to Kathy and she'd be like, do you know what? Fine, we'll put you on pot washing. That's fine. I don't, if you're going to get confused with the till or cooking or using the hot food implements or the coffee machine, I have no issues with dealing with all that and you just wash up and you can still have a job. Not a problem.
You've
Kathy would do
you've
that.
got a point because he totally forgot to use oven gloves, didn't he, at one point? So
Yeah, so
yeah.
he injured himself this week on the oven. Oh, so heartbreaking.
Oh,
So
Nigel.
sad. And then Linda sort of, I mean, Linda and Nigel, can we talk about for a second? Because that was
Yeah.
beautiful. That scene with them on the stairs was so nice.
I loved Linda just for
Yeah.
that scene. How like nice and caring she was. And it's
Lovely.
funny, isn't it, that you're going to have Linda and Phil, who've had the biggest issues recently, are going to end up being the ones who are there to help Nigel, I think,
Yeah, I love
which
the
is
role
kind of
that.
nice.
I love the role that Linda has in Phil's life now. Like, yes, helping Phil directly, but she'll also be a big kind of pinnacle of support for the Nigel stuff as well, because Nigel trusts her, Nigel knows her, and it's just, and she's like this really kind of calming, sweet influence in Nigel's life at the moment. It's lovely. It really, really is. A few little flashbacks from Nigel this week. We got mentions of the video shop. I was waiting for that, to be fair. I knew that video shop was going to get mentioned at some point. And he confused Lexi with Claire this week. We got a Debbie mention as well. I wonder if he's going to confuse Linda for Debbie at one point.
Oh, possibly,
Or Julie,
possibly.
of course. You know, bearing in mind he has got a current wife.
Yeah,
But
no, I was thinking that. Is she ever going to come back?
I think Linda might get confused for somebody in Nigel's ex-life at one point.
Do you think that Claire's going to come back at any point?
I feel like it would be weird if she didn't. Now, I think when Nigel first returned, he said that he'd lost contact with Claire. And Claire was always quite a flighty character, to say the least. So it would be interesting to see what she would be like with this. But
I
I would
feel like
say,
even if she just came back for the funeral, at least it wouldn't feel
yeah,
right
I
for her
think
to
she
not
would.
come back for
Yeah,
that
I
if
agree.
we're
I
going to
think.
see the funeral, which I feel like we are
I feel
going
like
to.
we have to, because Nigel's back in Walford now, isn't he? And I think until the day he dies. I think Julie will show up at some point
I hope so.
towards the end. And I think you're right. I think we need to see Claire at some point as well. And I think we will.
Linda's going to move into Phil's, isn't she?
I was thinking that. Yeah, it would make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think I'd love that. So I'd watch a whole three-hander between Phil, Nigel, and Linda quite cheerfully. Enough to
I'd love that.
for an entire week, I'd watch that.
Because you were talking about how she's cramped at,
Yeah,
Sonia's, weren't she?
makes
So that would
perfect
make
sense.
sense.
It would make perfect sense, yeah. And just sort of keep an eye on Phil. Because Phil, bless him, as much as he's like on the road to recovery, he's not perfect yet. And he's got the
No.
deal with Nigel, who is he's on the way up and Nigel's on the way down. So it's not the best sort of thing to be dealing with at the start, because Phil's kind of still low at the moment. So
Yeah,
I think
I
Linda
agree.
is going to be quite an important role in that, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Good. Right, ladies and gents, let's talk about the special episode at the end of the week, which was Phil in therapy. And so on to what was the biggest episode of the week, arguably, and that was Phil in the mental health unit. By the way, Steve McFadden's birthday on the episode that aired. That's nice, isn't it? A special Phil
Ah.
episode on his birthday. Happy birthday, Steve McFadden. And thank you so much for being amazing as Phil.
Pisces.
Yes, and thank you so much for being amazing as Phil, because wasn't he amazing as Phil this week? Like, stunning performance.
It's just been amazing as Phil for a while
Awards,
now, hasn't he? But
many
particularly
awards.
this week. Yeah,
Yeah.
all of the
All the
awards. All of
awards for
them.
Steve McFadden, please. Like, he's been stunning throughout this entire storyline. And actually, I wanted to kind of just talk about this arc for Phil, because for so long, I think Phil was a bit of a caricature character. Sort of like this old gangster who you could just throw in, maybe make him a little bit cliched at times, and just like he's the old gangster, walks in, hits things with a bat, sort of growls a bit, and then walks out again. And that was Phil's role for quite a long time. And now I think this storyline has been specifically designed in order to give Phil a sort of meaningful new direction. Because I think he is going to come out of this a different character, and I think that's
Bit of
important.
depth as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
Rather than
so
just
much
this
depth.
surface kind of thug
Yeah,
almost.
I think like one of the main like amazing sections of the Chris Crenshaw era has been his work done on Phil, because actually he's done before even this storyline began, he was giving him like George as a friendship and like making him into more of a human being than we'd become accustomed to with Phil.
Yes,
And
I agree with that entirely. Yep.
really kind of not softening him as much, but also but sort of scratching away at his psyche and making us understand why Phil is the way he is. Like going all the way back to the Mitchell flashback episode, like, it started there, his work on Phil as a character. I think actually, if you look back over this era, it's actually been a really big era for Phil. And it seems like actually that was something that Clenshaw really wanted to focus on throughout his entire era, was Phil as a character, which I think has worked incredibly well. It's been amazing for Phil.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. And I feel like it weren't that long ago that we kept saying, oh, they need to do a bit more with Phil. And my God, they've delivered that, haven't they?
I have, because actually, if you think about it, Phil, for years and years and years, has been a support character for a lot of
Yes,
storylines. He's never had
that's what we were kept saying, yeah.
his own storyline for ages and ages and ages, and then he's got this, and my God, it's been amazing to watch. Like, it's been a real meaningful, memorable, and I think very deliberate thing for Phil's character moving forwards. And I think actually coming out of Friday's episode, where he, and it's something I've wanted to see for so long, was Phil addressing what Eric has done to him as a person. And he actually was stood at Phil at Eric's grave this week and saying, "Do you know what? I let you go. You're done in my life. Your influence over me is done." And I think that's going to be so important for Phil moving forwards. Yes, I love Phil kind of running around with a baseball bat and going crazy, because it's Phil, and you're never going to take that away from Phil, because actually he's just an angry little man a lot of the time. But I think giving him this sort of new perspective and extra layers is going to be invaluable to Phil moving forwards, because, with the best boy in the world, he's not getting any younger. You can't have him like head of the gangsters forever. So you need to sort of give him these additional layers to move forward to sort of keep a longevity of the character going. And I think that they've really achieved that with this storyline.
Well, let's hope that the new Wade era continues it as well
Yes.
and it doesn't get forgotten about, but
Let's
let's have
hope so.
faith.
Let's hope so,
Yes,
because there's a
fingers
lot of effort. I
crossed.
think a lot of work has been put into Phil this era that let's hope is not sort of wrecked as soon as a new era comes into play, but we will see. So in the unit, we meet Gaz. Now, Keith Allen was great in this role, right? It was a really sort of natural performance, and like seemed what he could probably do in his sleep, most likely. It was a really kind of strong kind of showing for Gaz. And it was actually quite a dark storyline they were telling with Gaz, wasn't it? Like, this was
Very
not,
dark.
yeah, this was not holding our hands as to what mental health does to people. This was actually quite an in-depth look at how dark it could go and how Phil could end up, basically. It was basically like, I think he looks at Gaz and sees somebody that, if I don't pull myself out of this pit, that's what I'm going to turn into.
I was quite intrigued to know what Gaz was saying that he was in for the same thing as Phil, the classic complex trauma.
Yeah, they kind of implied that they had similar sort of background, similar sort of upbringing, similar sort of ideas about what their role in society should be. And they've sort of ended up in the same place for the same kind of reasons. But I mean, where they took Gaz's character,
This is what I mean, yeah. This is what I was confused by. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but obviously after when he suddenly turned on Phil, I was like so com I was like, is this part of your condition? Have you got a different condition that you've not mentioned?
No, see, I think what that was he was looking at Phil and saying, yeah, okay, we've kind of got similar stories, but I also think that he was looking at Phil thinking, but you have no idea what you've got, and I definitely haven't got what you've got. You know,
Yes,
he's
so more
aware,
bitterness.
very bitter. I think that was a kind of massive part of it, you know, and I think that, I mean, I've gone through depression myself, and I can kind of identify with somebody. Like looking at somebody else, and you don't think that you've got anything in your life at that moment, right? No matter what is presented to you, because this is what Phil was going through, right? You look at, he doesn't believe that anybody needs him, anybody wants him, he's done nothing but cause grief for everybody, it's better if he's not there, right? That was Phil's sort of mindset. And I think someone like Gab would look at that and think, well, actually, no, you've got a family, you've got people that love you, you've got support, you've got people, you've got friends. I've got none of that. So you look at it from a completely sort of telescopic view of a microscopic view of your life, where you just see nothing but the badness and the darkness and all that kind of thing. And that's where Gav was at. And I think the implication was that Gav has kind of been in and out of that unit for quite a while.
Yes, it does sound like that actually, but I guess it would be quite realistic because, in a way, that's his company. If he really hasn't got anyone in his life.
What I was surprised by was sort of where they went with Gaz, you know, with his suicide attempt and everything. Brief little question. And I don't know the answer to this. This isn't necessarily a criticism. I don't know the answer to this. How realistic is it that Phil was able to bring those cans in to him? It was quite a big part of the episode story, so I kind of feel like they must have looked at it and said, yeah, it is possible for him to do this, right?
Well, it was confirmed that he was in there voluntarily, so that
Yeah,
means that he's
so
allowed to go out for a
yeah,
walk. So I
he effectively
guess,
could come and go as he pleased in that regard, yeah, and then could go to the
yeah, so
shops
I
if he wanted.
guess,
But
yeah.
I was sort of wondering, like,
Whether
you know,
he's
if
allowed
you're.
to bring items in, do they need to check, kind of thing.
Because obviously Gaz came up with quite an intuitive way of doing what he needed to do, given what, you know, what happened. And I was sort of wondering, like, is. Because bearing in mind, Phil went in there because he was suicidal. He went in there presumably under some form of suicide watch. That's why he was in there. So are they not checking people as they're going into these places to make sure they haven't got
That's
anything
what I'm just
potentially
thinking,
dangerous
but
on them?
may. So at first Phil said, I'm sure I remember Phil saying, oh, like a clock, like checking me every 15 minutes. But maybe at that point maybe they'd taken him off suicide watch by that
Maybe,
point then.
maybe, maybe. Yeah.
Because you would think,
It's.
yeah, otherwise they would be checking for Phil bringing such things in,
Yeah. I mean, the
you'd
thing,
think.
the other kind of point of the episode was to sort of look at, you know, the role of these places and see how sort of overstretched they are. And they are. Like, it's, you know, I think a half an hour soap episode isn't enough to sort of examine exactly what goes on in these places and how difficult it is for staff and for, you know, the people that work there.
And I don't feel like they brought it up enough, if I'm honest with you, because obviously there was the nurse, Jasmine, who Phil had obviously made friends with, kind of, so to speak, whilst he
Made her
was been there.
toast. Made her toast. That was nice, wasn't it?
Very nice of Phil. But there was the moment where obviously they'd missed a call of going in every 15 minutes to check on Gaz. And then Phil obviously got angry, and she said, you know, we're trying our best. And I feel like that could have been a moment to talk about we're very understaffed, because she'd already crossed that level of professionalism in saying that to Phil,
No,
which I'm not
I
slating her
think you
for. She
would.
was
I
just
think
being
you would.
human in that
Yeah, it's an
moment, weren't
outlet.
she?
Yeah, if someone's having a go at you and you kind of got to know these people, I think you would na a human being naturally goes, do you know what we're dealing with here? Like, it's this, 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 and this. Yeah, and I mean, the whole 15 minutes thing, I was sort of like, I feel like if Gaz was in there for long enough, he'd know about the 15 minutes thing, and you sort of do that on minute 16, rather than minute 14.
That
You
is
know,
very true.
you sort of kind of get to know the routine of it. And what does it take, you know, somebody to be kicking off down the corridor that they get distracted by? We have to deal with this. And so we're not checking you on this 15 minutes. We're actually checking you after 20 minutes. And that gives you enough time to do something horrible. You know, it's.
But the idea is that he's not got anything. So when they're on suicide watch, they take anything out of the room, obviously, that can cause them harm, which is why they said, well, where's the can come from? So maybe in their heads, they were thinking, well, we saw on the. Actually, no, having said that, would they have not seen the can at some point anyway? Must have kept it very well hidden for him
Well,
to have not spotted it on the previous check.
film? Oh, what, the empty cans? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't. Then maybe he didn't have that thought at that moment. You know, the first time that he, because Phil came in with two, gave him two, or maybe that was the idea. I don't know, but you know, it's something along the lines of. And I was surprised that they went there actually, but then at the same time, I was quite glad that they did and showed sort of like the gritty reality of it, and you know, reminded us that EastEnders isn't the soap that holds your hand. You know, they were quite honest about that's what kind of can go on, and I was like, fair play, that's
And
rough, but fair
showing
play.
us what these staff members in mental health units actually have to do and how they're so ready to know how to handle those situations because it's not the first time experiencing it,
No,
unfortunately.
and you sort of look at it like, so you know, the whole point of Phil going there was to recover, and presumably to recover, you need to be in not really intense situation like that, and actually, arguably, understaffing is fueling those very intense sort of moments that kind of hinder recovery for everybody else around them. You know, it's one of those sort of painting the fourth bridge moments, like as it's becomes impossible to kind of keep everybody under control, not under control, but keeping an eye on everybody and making sure that everybody is recovering. It's a rough situation, and a lot needs to be done, and I think, you know, it takes more than a half hour soap episode to sort of really illustrate that, but I think they did a good job about what with what they were able to say.
Did you notice that when they started talking, Gaz and Phil, that Jasmine were looking over like, I'm not sure that this is a good idea. Did you clock that bit?
No, I didn't, because I actually, because at one point, you know, Phil was sort of wandering around looking for something, and she just went, he's in his room, and so seemed quite happy that Phil had got a mate.
At that point, I think it was when they were first starting to talk. I just felt that the look she gave were like, I'm not sure that that's a good idea. So obviously, like you say, she's probably knows Gaz's personality already.
Maybe sense that they were right for each other in that regard, because actually, if it hadn't been for Phil sort of finding him, it might have been too late.
That is
But
true.
so, you know, I think so the implication basically was that Phil was able to discharge himself, and then did sort of got all these messages on his phone, which I think he was finding a bit overwhelming at first, but then started listening to these voicemail messages and actually realized the support that was waiting for him on the other side, which I thought was quite well handled.
It was not. I That was my first thought, though. Like, poor Phil, he's just come out
Oh,
and then
instantly,
he's
like pling, 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 pling,
overwhelmed
pling.
on all of this. Like, I'd be like, can I come back in, please? I can't. I'm not sure I can deal with this right now. You know,
It's
it
a
was
lot.
very overwhelming.
I mean, it's a lot, and you've got to kind of, I think they've got to kind of say, do you know what, you're ready. I know that's overwhelming, but you've kind of got to go out there and face this eventually. You know, is there a time really when you're in a place like that where you think, you know, yeah, I'm cured, I'm fixed, I'm ready, I'm ready to go. It doesn't work like that. You don't just take a pill for a few days and then it's sort of like all those symptoms you had have gone away. It doesn't work like that, mental health. It's sort of a lot more delicate, fragile. So I think he came out at the right time. It wasn't a case of, because the implication that we got on Wednesday's episode was that he discharged himself way too early and was just sort of on the run somewhere, you know, whereas actually by the time we got to him discharging himself, it was sort of like, yeah, you know what, I'm ready, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to face stuff, it's going to be rough, but I've got support, I know that, and I'm ready to go.
It made it, we could see that actually that friendship he'd formed with Gaz made him so much more grateful for everyone he's got on the outside, didn't it?
And God, has he got people outside. Like, I can't wait. His relationship with Nigel is so sweet. It's great. And, you
I
know,
know.
and with Linda as well. Him and Sharon, that's presumed now she's not with Teddy anymore. That's counting down to be back together again, surely.
You'd think so. He talked
He's still in
about
love
her a
with
lot,
her.
didn't he?
Said it blatantly. I'm still in love with my ex. So that's happening. And Sharon, you know, she can deny it all she likes, but she's still in love with Phil. She always will be. Otherwise, she wouldn't care quite as much. Because let's be honest, Kat never rang him. So Kat's
Yeah,
not
but she
bothered.
did, she did have an affair with Keanu, which is what broke them up
She
in the
did
first place.
care, but I
You
think,
don't
can
know.
you do that and still be in love with people? I think you can. It's just, I mean, that's the
Well,
way.
on EastEnders, I think
It's
the
the way
cameo.
soap works, though, isn't it? I think it's more to do with sort of emotional connection that you can't let go of. I think that's the basis of a lot of soap love relationships. Like, yes, you can do the most horrific things to each other and you can cheat on each other, but actually, if there's that bond there that is so difficult to cut away from, you're never really going to be apart. So, and I think that's very much what Phil and Sharon are. They're sort of like, can't live with each other, can't live without each other, sort of thing.
Well, there's time for him to find out about Grant, though, so
That'll
maybe they
happen.
won't.
Yeah. And actually, the Grant thing has been such a spectre over the Sharon and Phil relationship for so many years. The fact that it's coming back again is not going to be very helpful, I would argue. But I think
No.
overall, that episode was pretty bloody good, wasn't it? I think it did what it was set out
Yeah.
to do. Was a powerhouse performance by Steve McFadden. Great turn by Keith Allen as Gaz, and
Yeah, very good.
said what it needed to say. I would have liked it to be longer, but
Yeah, an hour would have been lovely. Hey,
an hour would have been great, actually. You know, sort
but
of go on.
sorry, I was going to say, do you know what we've not mentioned though? The fact that we saw his, month in one episode was great, weren't it? The fact that we're not talking about it is a good sign that it actually
Yeah, I think
works.
that worked quite well. You know, I think that, you know, when they tried that with the Milton Keynes episode with Whitney, it didn't work quite as well. But I think
No, I
actually,
agree.
because this was actually a lot more self-contained, it kind of made a lot more sense, didn't it?
That's true. Yeah.
And it
Yeah,
was
that
really
did. But it
interesting to
really
sort of,
worked.
yeah, it did. And I think it was really interesting to sort of see someone like Phil, who's actually quite a unique character in so many ways. So that when you put someone like Phil in a situation like this, it's really interesting character study of seeing somebody that we know doesn't do emotional conversations, doesn't do talking about feelings, doesn't do letting people see him in anything other than top dog status, which he's far from it these days. So it's like, it's been so interesting to sort of see him really scratch away at that.
See,
And actually, I'd like to have seen more of that within the episode.
I was thinking that, but then because obviously, I'm amazed that we started seeing him doing mindfulness. I was
Yeah,
amazed that
right.
that
Phil
actually happened.
meditating. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
the thing there.
brilliant though. I hope
Yeah.
that they carry that on in certain little
Can
ways.
you imagine? Like, we just cut away to Phil occasionally just breathing. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just
Brilliant
having a
though.
moment.
I
Yeah,
believe
yeah.
in, the power of mindfulness,
Yes,
but
I know you do.
the thing that I found. So, like we're saying, like, oh, he's not very good at talking about his feelings, but he's always gone to AA meetings. And so, when he was sat in that circle and they were talking, it were obviously some kind of group talking therapy. I actually thought to myself, that won't be that alien to Phil, surely, because he does go
No.
to AAs,
So he
but does
does
he just sit
know.
there
Yeah.
silently when he's at AA
I
meetings?
mean, I think it depends what mood he's in. But yeah, probably in some regard, yeah. I wonder if we'll sort of, I don't know if we'll see Gaz again in person, because actually I thought that
No.
his storyline had actually quite a sad but perfect ending to it. You know, sort of looking at Gaz thinking it could be that, it could be that. He could have been there. But I wonder if, like, it'll be almost like the sponsor situation where, you know, you sort of see Phil like having a comment. Might hear from Gaz again if we don't see him again. Sort of, he's back in
See,
the US. Or do you reckon
I
it,
feel
that'll be the
like
end of it?
no, I feel like the friendship's done anyway because I feel like Phil were trying to get through to him and Gaz's bitterness were just so abundant towards him that he wouldn't allow himself to be friends with Phil again. And I also think he resented Phil a little
He
bit
did,
because
yeah, he
he
did.
was the reason that not only is he jealous of the lifestyle that he's got, thinking that Phil has everything and basically belittling the fact that he's allowed to have sad feelings despite having everything according to him, but Phil was also the reason why Gaz got discovered and his attempt wasn't
And
successful
lived.
in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was some really kind of fascinating stuff there, which I would, again, I would love to have seen explored a little bit more in a longer episode, but you know, that's not necessarily their fault, schedules or whatever.
No.
So yeah, really good stuff there. Gold star, are you giving yours to?
You give yours first because I've got two in mind. I can give it to a
Same.
different
I feel
person if
like,
needs be.
I mean, Phil needs one, right? So I'll just say Phil.
Okay. I would, well, because I was going to say, if you say Phil, even though I'm tempted, I actually kind of want to give it to Linda for just how nice she was
Okay.
to Nigel, is
So
what I was
yeah,
thinking.
I was going to either go give it to Phil or Nigel, but I feel like
Okay.
Phil deserves one. Actually, yes, so does Linda. So right then, Phil and Linda for our gold stars this week. Now she can have a silver star. Put it in the comment section of your gold stars are going to this week. And as usual, ladies and gentlemen, we shall be looking at some comments from you. Okay, before we get to a couple of comments, slight spoiler siren here, although I would argue that no one's really surprised about it. EastEnders
No.
has confirmed that Matthew James Morrison will be leaving the BBC soap after the decision was made to write out the character of Felix Baker. So it would seem that this is maybe the first of the Wadey axings, I would say, maybe,
Yeah.
given kind of where this has happened. I mean, we've been saying for so long, can we give Felix something to do, please? It's like, honestly, they've gone out of their way to give him as little to do as possible throughout the. I'm honestly surprised, A, that it's been 3 years, and B, that the actor didn't leave before this happened.
It's just a shame because there's so much potential. You could do so much stuff with a
Yeah.
character like Felix as well. Like, why have they not bothered utilizing the
I know.
character? I don't understand.
Like, they could have had him as, like, owning the Albert. Like, it would make a lot more sense for a drag queen to own that place rather than Kathy owning the building that both she and her son were raped in. That, to me, makes
I mean,
no
there is that
sense.
in
What, that
there.
makes no sense to me whatsoever and never has. So, I mean, and it's just like they gave
Or he could
him.
do at the very least be the, like, you know, the actual manager. And I don't feel like we've seen enough of his
Yeah.
drag side. I know we've seen
No.
bits, but
We
you
haven't seen
know, that could
Tara
have been
for
explored a
ages.
little bit more. No.
Yeah, I think I think they're basically saying that he's filmed his last scenes already, so his exit will be in the coming weeks.
Oh, that's a
It's just,
shame.
it's a shame. I think that's the main thing to take away from it. It's a shame because, do you know what? By the time he leaves, and we say that he will be gone by May, say, he'll be lucky if he has reached 200 episodes. I was looking on his episode count, and I think he's at something like 160 odd or something since he came in. That's ridiculous over 3 years for a regular character.
It is, but equally, like, he came in with his brother, and obviously his dad who passed. All his family have gone except for Bernie.
Yeah, who
So is she next on the Wadey
I feel
list?
like Bernie might be next on the list, if I'm honest, because to be honest with you, Bernie doesn't make a lot of sense as a character at the moment. I love Bernie, but she doesn't make a lot of sense as a character at the moment. Like, there's no family around her other than Felix, and she works in the place where her brother was buried. At one point, she was living in the house where her sister was murdered. It makes no
I
sense.
mean, to be fair though, Rob, if we're going to go on that, I think most of them should have
Well,
left
yeah.
Albert Square by
Yeah, to be
now.
fair, nobody, the Vic would have closed down years ago, in all fairness.
Yeah.
Nobody would go in there whatsoever and see it as a cursed building. I mean, I just think it's a shame. Like, he's had, I think this week was probably his sixth appearance this year, and he's not had lines in all of those appearances either. He's sort of just been in the background of episodes, like, not saying a lot. I don't know what he's done to piss anybody off, but that's the end of Felix, effectively. I just think it's a shame. Like, yeah, I'll be honest with you, we're probably not going to miss him too much. It's not like we're going to be looking at
No.
storylines in the coming years and think, do you know what this needed was Felix. But I just think that it's a shame to bring in a character and then do absolutely nothing with them.
It is, but then when you think about how busy EastEnders has been, like even this
Yeah.
past year, in fact, longer than a year, I guess they've just not really had the time to go that in depth with somebody like Felix. And
Three
where would they have
years, though?
involved him anyway? Yeah,
Yeah, I know.
I agree. I agree. I think. Personally, I think they could have utilised him way better,
A
but they've
lot
not, and
more,
they've
yeah.
decided to axe him, which is a massive shame.
It is a shame. So I wish him all the best, in all honesty, because that is a shame. But there you go. I mean, I suppose that's soap, isn't it? That's just the way soap works sometimes. Occasionally, these characters sort of arrive and then slip through the net and don't do anything and then leave again. You sort of forget about them. So it's a shame. It really, really is a shame. But I wish him all the best. Couple of commentary.
We've got a comment here from David on Instagram who says, extremely well done and well worth a Julia's theme. It's not just for departures, but for moving on to bigger and better things.
Yes, the Julius theme at the end of Thursday's episode was great, wasn't it? I think it just kind of, nice little cherry on the top of it. Talking of cherry, Matt Cherry has said,
Segue.
tour de force for Steve McFadden and very well written. Julius theme was the icing on the cake. Looked it up and was surprised to see this was only Phil's fourth Julius theme, if you count the Peggy's theme he got when she was buried. Then I saw that Sharon has only had one. This was the 79th Julius theme in the show's history and our third already in 2025. We only have had one in all of 2024, which was Whitney's departure. I like that. I love a little factoid like that. Yeah, I think we've had quite a few this year already. I think the year started because Sukey and Eve had one at the end of the episode, didn't they? And
And
what was
then
the other one?
Martin,
Martin, that's right. Yes. So
of
yeah, of course. You
course,
know that
and
whole
then
thing that happened in the
Phil.
live episode, Rob. You know that happened. And now Phil's one. Yeah. So it's nice. Yeah, I do love a
Do
Julius
you
theme.
feel like, see, I at first, because I associate a Julia's theme with departures, so in my head, it was Phil's closure away from Eric.
Yeah,
That's what I read
absolutely.
into
It's
it, the
exactly what it
symbolism of
was, I
that.
think. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. That was a huge moment for Phil to be able to just say to Eric, "You're done in my life." And looking at his gravestone and thinking, that's the last thing I want to be. Just, sort of this disheveled gravestone, sort of all like moss covered and covered in weeds. Nobody cares about it. It's just sort of there and forgotten about. Whereas you look at Peggy's, which is really well kept and sort of covered in flowers and really well polished and
And
everything
his
like
little
that.
daffodil painting that
That
Phil
was
left. How cute of
sweet.
Phil!
So cute.
It's
Cute.
so
I tell you what,
cute.
it's a better
Phil with
da
his little painting.
I tell you what, it's a better daffodil than I could paint. I'm rubbish at that sort of thing. I'm so rubbish at that sort of thing. I don't think my drawing and art skills have improved since I was in primary school, if I'm honest with you.
Imagine this time next year, we're going to have Phil in his living room with a canvas just painting daffodils.
Oh,
That'll be
can't
his
wait.
art therapy.
I can't wait for
Beautiful.
that. It'll be beautiful, absolutely beautiful. If you'd like to get in touch with us for questions or comments or any of the above, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Instagram and Twitter at E20 After Dark. Don't forget to like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, Albert Square After Dark, and find us on all your favourite podcast sites. You can drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going
Coffee.
on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Buy us a coffee if you would. Yeah, thank
Buy
you
me
very
a
much for watching.
coffee.
Yes, coffee. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Next week, yeah, the teens are in the forefront. I think we'll be seeing the Panasars again. I'm not seeing them for a little while. And what is
Yes.
going on in this double Lauren Clee episode? We are yet to discover, but I'm sure it'll be very, very good. And I look forward to seeing it and discussing it with Ree next week, who will also still be in Turkey. Ridiculous. How the other half live, eh? Hey, yes. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.